Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And here we go, a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today, and a lot to get to. I want to address something with Romeo Langford. We'll do that in the headline segment coming up here in just a second, so stay with us for that. Let's get right to it. The guest lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham. We'll have a number of guests with us today. You're probably familiar with our lineup for Tuesdays. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, he will be with us in segment number two, presented by Coffee Crossing, once we get through some headlines and news of the day coming up here in just a few moments. Later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, he's with us. We'll talk some recruiting. We'll also talk IU football. He'll be at the fall camp today. We heard from Zach Osterman, who was at camp yesterday. Mike Pegram will step outside for a quick interview with us today. And that's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And I said at the top I wanted to address something with Romeo Langford. I have been consistently asked about a situation with Romeo. There have been some pictures where people have run into him now that he's been away from campus for a little bit to get a final break before he heads back to the start of actual college for his freshman year at Indiana. And it's one of those things where you really don't know how to address it because you really don't know the full truth. But I've got a little more information, enough that I feel like it's comfortable to talk about. But I have been overwhelmed, and I'm sure that many of you have seen this circulating on some of the message boards and on social media, but there have been pictures of Romeo that have popped up. You know, he was at Holiday World a few weekends ago with his family and different places, or people have said they heard or they saw him, and he's got a small cast on his hand. And everybody wants to know how serious that is, what the problem is. Is there reason for panic? You know, it's a cast. That's not a sling or a more temporary brace that you might see someone wear. And so everybody's kind of been losing their mind quietly behind the scenes. So made a couple calls over the last few days, and basically the story is, and Pigs.com has reported this, Jeff Rabjohn says a really good summary of this situation if you're a paying subscriber and read and follow their message form. But essentially, it's a planned deal that after they got through summer workouts, the bulk of summer workouts at least, that the plan was to immobilize his wrist that he had some trouble with. It was never anything, I don't think, too major, but he did have some soreness at times during his high school season. But by immobilizing his wrist at this time, it would give him a chance to rest it, strengthen it, heal it for, of course, the upcoming season and the start of practices and workouts that will continue when school jumps back in session. So for those of you that have followed Romeo really closely throughout his high school years, you might remember at times a slight maybe pain in his wrist or slight issue with his wrist. But with that being said, that's what the cast is all about. It's more of a preventative measure to give it some time to heal. Obviously, he was playing with it through much of his high school career. He's been playing with it through summer workouts and all the grueling things that have went on in Bloomington. But the cast really forces him, is kind of how someone told me off the record. It forces a guy like Romeo that is dead set on shooting, working on his game, working out, doing whatever it takes to be ahead of the curve as an incoming freshman, it really forces him to maybe relax a little bit and to not use that hand when it's a cast. It's nothing that can slip off and, well, I'll go shoot, you know, 500 jump shots and then put it back on, put my brace or my sleeve back on. It's nothing like that. So I think it's good news. It's probably good to rest it, but there is no reason for panic. I know some people have said, hey, why are you not talking about this on your show? Why are you not asking some of your guests about this that have insight with what's going on in Bloomington? Anytime, you know, a player is injured, it's obviously something that people want to know about. Indiana and most schools are very, very close to the vest about injuries and about releasing details. You go back to some of the serious injuries that Indiana has had over the last number of seasons, season-ending injuries even, and they're very slow to release details, and it's times would never, ever tell you for sure exactly what the injury was. But with the Romeo thing, nothing is official been put out about this, obviously. This is just kind of things through back channels. And again, Jeff Rabjohn's had a great rundown on some of the details with it. But preventative measure, basically, to make sure that a wrist where there has been a slight issue, a problem dating back to his high school career days, has an opportunity maybe in this slower time for workouts and getting away from campus for a little while to heal and to rest, and more so, I understand, to keep Romeo out of the gym, out of working out, and let him get a rest. So honestly, probably a good opportunity, probably a good thing to see him get the rest. But I know a lot of people have been whispering about that. There have sure been a lot of rumors about that. So anyhow, that's what we know. And again, a lot of that is credit to Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. But that's kind of the message out there when it comes to Romeo and a cast on his wrist. Let's take a look at a couple other headlines today. Again, not a lot out there. This time of year, you're getting ready for the football season. College basketball is really after the recruiting period at a standstill. Still a lot of fallout from the new rules that were announced. And I sense that even some of the top coaches like Coach K had some comments on the new rules, and there's still a lot of learning to be done by the coaches to comprehend all of the changes. But more so than that, people are not sure how all this is going to work. And again, I go back to who's going to classify who as an elite level player that can talk to agents and those sort of things. And I bring that up briefly because even though we've already discussed it, I know Greg Doyle has some viewpoints on agents in college basketball and agents in high school basketball dealing with this elite class of players that's been discussed now that these new rules have been announced, and we'll talk with them about that in the next segment. Also, social media, every day we've got an update on something that the IU program has put out. Most recently, after we saw the best play here graphic with Romeo, Indiana's Mr. Basketball, and Reese, Indiana's Mr. Football, saw a really different graphic yesterday with Ohio in the background. And in front of the Ohio, you have Jerome Hunter on the left. You have Morgan Ellison on the right. Both of those guys were obviously the top in their state. Jerome Hunter went to Pickerington North and is expected to be one of the incoming freshmen that can really contribute to this team. Also, Ellison is from Pickerington as well. He went to Pickerington Central High School. Below both of the players standing there in front of the word Ohio, it says the Pickerington pair. And I've mentioned on this show numerous times that I think over the next 5 to 10 years, we will see some outrageous recruiting battles between Archie Miller and Chris Holtman at Ohio State, given their connections to Ohio and Indiana, given Holtman's years at Butler, and given what I feel like both of them will be able to accomplish at their respective programs in the Big Ten. I think they're the coaches of the future in the conference. I think they are both trendsetters and both great recruiters. Holtman showed what he could do continuing on Brad Stevens' legacy, obviously, at Butler, and doing a very good job at that, recruiting Indiana, of course, very strongly in his days as Butler's coach, but also Ohio as well. And so it's going to be interesting to watch these two coaches and these two programs battle down the road for some of the best players from two Midwestern states that really do produce an unbelievable number of great basketball talent year in and year out. And I think the graphic from IU's social media people with Ohio in the background and the Pickerington pair featuring Hunter and Ellison from the men's basketball and football programs is just an example of Indiana kind of staking some roots back to Archie Miller's years at Dayton and the relationships he had with high school coaches. And, you know, his first team camp, he had a lot of Ohio teams there. I think there were some there last year, maybe not as many as the first year, but obviously some deep connections for Archie Miller in Ohio, even though that's not his stomping grounds, his home state. He was there long enough to do some good things at Dayton, earn the respect of a lot of people, almost very similarly to what Holtman was able to do at Butler in Indiana before going over to take the Ohio State job. So another great, I thought, marketing piece for what it's worth, not only to get fans excited about the upcoming football and basketball seasons, but also to let, you know, players in Ohio and other states know that Indiana has a presence there and that they will market you. And just an interesting graphic, I think, and the good work continues by the IU social media people. There's no question about that. High school football begins this Friday. We've been pumping it up all week long. We'll continue to do so later in the week. New Albany at Providence, that is the big rivalry game for week one. We'll be focused a lot on that game throughout the week. And, of course, Friday night in our Kentuckiana Football Fridays coverage, we'll have Steve Cooley of New Albany, Larry Dennison of Providence on with us on Friday's show to kind of get their last words before they do battle on Friday night. But other big games like Silver Creek at Charlestown, that's a big one locally among two rivals, and another big challenge for Jeffersonville to start the season. They're down at Pulaski Southwestern in Kentucky. That's an early game. They get started at 6 o'clock. Louisville Male will be a big challenge at Floyd Central on Friday. Other games locally, Scottsburg at Clarksville. Clarksville looking to break a very, very long losing streak that they have had. And Oldenburg Academy plays at Rock Creek. Getting excited for the first night of football. I hope that you are as well. Hopefully you're planning to get out to a game. Even if you're not a regular fan of high school football, now is the opportunity to get out early in the season. It'll be a fun environment. Everybody waits for that first week of football. Of course, the weather is still summer-like, at least for the next month or so, maybe a little longer before then it gets, at some time it can be a little not fun to sit outside during high school football games late into the season, but should be a great night. Of course, we'll have everything centralized for you. We'll have correspondents at New Albany and Providence for play-by-play, Silver Creek at Charlestown for play-by-play. We'll have updates even during the 6 o'clock hour when we're doing our pregame show from down at Jeffersonville playing at the Pulaski Southwestern, as that is a 6 o'clock tip-off. We'll have a call-in. We'll have a reporter at Mail and Floyd Central, other games as well. And then when it's all over with, when all the scores have went final, we'll have a scoreboard show with scores, results, highlights, interviews from folks on both sides of the river. So it's a great way to summarize your Friday night of high school football. None more fun than the opening week of the season, that is for sure. And we'll have you covered in all directions this Friday, starting at 6 o'clock, 5 hours of local coverage on this coming Friday night here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Obviously, Hoopster is one of our great sponsors each and every day on the program, helping bring coverage of Southern Indiana sports to you in the first segment. They're your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturdays. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens. One thing I did leave off, actually two things I did leave off that I'm going to go back and cover here in this first segment. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, senior for the Highlanders, he told me last night that he expects he will make his college decision public today around 12:30. No press conference or anything too major. He's just going to simply tweet it out. His final five schools that he's considering, a really solid final five list of schools. Belmont, obviously, they have been a tremendous program in mid-major college basketball. Indiana State, Lehigh, Miami of Ohio, a real upstart program. Purdue, Fort Wayne as well. He will choose from those five, and we expect that his decision will be out by 12:30 today. So good luck on his decision. Obviously, he's gearing up for a big high school senior basketball season. And interesting, he's going to get his decision out of the way. He wants that behind him so he can focus solely on his senior year and, of course, his final year suiting up for the Highlanders. One other big thing I left off, Center Grove and LaPorte La Lemire are going to play Saturday, December 8th at Southport. That will be part, I'm sure, of the Forum Tip-Off Classic when that full lineup is announced here soon. Center Grove features Trace Jackson Davis. LaPorte La Lemire features Keon Brooks Jr., obviously two big IU targets. The game was initially scheduled. I heard rumblings of a Center Grove against Fort Wayne North matchup in that nightcap game at Southport on December 8th. But when Brooks left North, I'm sure there was some juggling done there to get LaPorte La Lemire lined up to be Center Grove's opponent. So you're going to see the best two players, at least, that come from high school basketball. Brooks obviously leaving the IHSA format, the IHSA member school in Fort Wayne North, to go to LaPorte La Lemire. But you're going to see two big targets, two great in-state players. Trace Jackson Davis obviously is now the major front runner for Mr. Basketball. But that game will take place an 8:30 nightcap on Saturday, December 8th at Southport, part of the Forum Tip-Off Classic. And I'm sure when we see the rest of the Forum Tip-Off Classic, we're always joined by Brian Snow to promote that and release that. I'm sure it will just be another tremendous event showcasing high school basketball here in the state of Indiana. So we very, very much look forward to that game. And, of course, that's one of the great events in high school basketball. It probably has become the event during the regular season, and it's early enough in the season that there's still excitement to see exactly who's who and what players are going to go on to have what type of seasons. But it's become the real event in Indiana high school basketball, of course, outside of the prized sectional, regional, semi-state, state final, the state tournament. It's become the big day early on in high school basketball in our state. There's no question about that. Those are the headlines. Left a couple out. Now we'll head to a commercial break. Coming up after the break, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg will join us in the next segment to talk a number of subjects. We're going to talk a little Little League baseball with New Albany's run in the Great Lakes Regional now over. IU quarterback battle. And Greg has some thoughts on agents' access to college hoops given these new NCAA rules that were put out last Wednesday, to be in fact. We'll talk about all of that and more after this on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we have Greg Doyle with us of the Indianapolis Star. Our chat with Greg each Tuesday, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg Doyle, our guest of the Indianapolis Star. Greg, we spent a lot of time last week celebrating, watching get-togethers to watch the New Albany Little League team play on ESPN streaming app, and then, of course, ESPN itself later in the week. But obviously nothing like Little League baseball and local sports can bring a community, a Southern Indiana community like a New Albany or Jeffersonville together. And I know Little League, as previously discussed with you, you have some very fond memories from that. But it was a great week, even though it didn't end the way that everyone hoped, with a trip to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. A lot of community pride in following this New Albany team.
Yeah, I like how you say it can bring a community together. I'm reminded of, from my own childhood, from, you know, you guys are Southern Indiana. Well, I'm talking, we were Southern when we moved to Mississippi in 1978. So going back a ways, 78. My dad's a law professor at the Ole Miss Law School, and a couple months into it, we've got summer coming up, and I'm going to play baseball. And so he's asking his law professor friends where do kids play, and he was told, well, the good families go to this park. So we went to that park, and my dad was a coach, and they had the draft and all the players are there for the draft. I guess we had a little tryout or something. Dad looks around and realizes we're all white. And he was already into it. He was committed to coach, and so he wasn't going to put up a scene. So he told me this. I asked him about this a couple weeks ago because I was reminded about this. He said that he decided at that moment that we're going to play this season, and then we're going to destroy this segregated league. And it's one of the more proud of things I am with my dad is that the following year, he got me and three other kids to be the only three white kids in what was the actual City League, the Oxford City League. We joined it, and when we joined it, a bunch of kids followed us. And 2 years later, the segregated league was out of business. But, you know, that was Mississippi, you know, in the late 70s. They still thought Jim Crow laws existed. So, Little League baseball can certainly bring a community together. But, boy, it was used 40 years ago to tear one apart.
Absolutely. And you had told us your dad's involvement as a coach. And, of course, that takes it a step further. And really, probably that step there even more important than any coaching or any volunteerism you could do.
Yeah, my dad's, he's a remarkable guy. He's the kind of guy that we moved to Georgia later. He was teaching law school at Mercer at Macon. And this was in 87, I think, and there was a big Ku Klux Klan rally in Forsyth, Georgia, near Atlanta. And I don't remember why they were rallying, but obviously something happened. And the Klan showed up, and so, of course, the counter-protesters showed up, and my dad's over there, you know, counter-protesting against them. And in the 80s in Georgia, it wasn't really cool to be a white guy counter-protesting against the Klan. The world's changed a whole lot, thank goodness. But it changed because, just like it changed because people in the military helped change it for us. Also, people kind of fighting for stuff on our own for helped change it for us too. And you know, in the case of my dad, too bad it's in Father's Day. But in the case of my dad, he was both. He fought in Vietnam and then he did the other stuff. Good for him.
Absolutely, Greg Doyle, some good stuff there. Little League baseball joining us here on this Tuesday show presented by Coffee Crossing. IU football had a scrimmage, first scrimmage of the fall camp over the weekend. It was closed to the public, closed to the media, and Coach Tom Allen still coy on really any update on the quarterback race. Right now there are three players involved in that race. They all, from reports that IU put out, got a chance to obviously take a lot of snaps and participate in that scrimmage. It sounds like the only kind of giving thing he said after that scrimmage on Saturday earlier this week was that maybe after the next scrimmage, which is going to take place this weekend, a decision will be made or will need to be made at that point so they can give proper preparation for whoever is going to be QB1 for Indiana. Your thoughts on the quarterback race and where IU football is at heading into this upcoming season?
You know, a lot of times when and the old coaching cliche is if you have two quarterbacks, certainly if you have three quarterbacks, that means you don't have one quarterback. That's what they say, you know, and there's a reason that's a cliche, and it's a cliche because by and large it's often true, but there's exceptions to everything. And, you know, the longer this thing goes, the more and more encouraged I would be if I was an IU football fan, and the more and more kind of impressed I am from the outside with just how good those quarterbacks must be. Because Brandon Dawkins, I mean, he played at Arizona, and he played pretty well. In fact, he played well enough to beat out Khalil Tate, who just might win the Heisman Trophy this year. You know, Dawkins got hurt last year. Tate replaced him, and the rest is history. But I'm not saying Dawkins is a Heisman candidate. In fact, there's a reason Michigan's Rich Rodriguez was fired, probably because he didn't recognize he had a Heisman candidate sitting on his bench. But the point remains that Dawkins must be pretty good. And, again, his stats say he is pretty good. I saw Peyton Ramsey play last year. I remember writing a story about Peyton after a game they played. I don't even think they won the game. As I recall, they lost to somebody, but I was so impressed with Peyton Ramsey. I said, you know, IU football is in good hands. He's their quarterback for the next 4 years. That's pretty cool. So I know he's good. I know Brandon Dawkins must be good. And then Michael Penix is highly, highly regarded from, you know, a great thrower, athlete, runner from Florida. And so, you know, sometimes you have a three-quarterback race because you have three quarterbacks. And I kind of don't envy Tom Allen having to make this choice, but I think he's got – I almost don't think he can lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, Coffee Crossing, the sponsor of this segment. One other thing, too, and this is something that I know you have some real thoughts on, agent access to college hoops. Of course, new rules announced last Wednesday as we were getting ready to come on the air that will greatly change a number of things related to college basketball and the recruiting side of college basketball. I think there are still a lot of things that are maybe not clear and a lot of processes on exactly how they're going to work, like identifying elite-level high school players that will be able to have interaction with an agent in high school, even that, who's gonna identify those guys? Who's gonna label those guys? Who's gonna track those guys? And I'm not sure that that answer has been made completely clear yet. But your thoughts on agents gaining more access to the game in a lot of ways?
Well, first of all, there's a couple ways to identify those high school players. It's pretty easy. That A, USA Basketball invites a bunch of kids, you know, and basically, if college wants to be lazy about it, NCAA wants to be lazy, then to say if you're invited into these camps, then we're going to call you elite. And also, the NBA knows. I mean, they're scouting kids. They know. So they can find these answers. People are wringing their hands over, well, that's not USA Basketball's job. Well, no, it's not. But it is their job to find out who the best young players are, because they want to bring them to developmental camps. Well, then those are your elite players. Problem solved. There's a lot of hand-wringing about allowing agent access to players. I struggle sometimes with why society is so views basketball differently than it views any other sport where kids can turn pro out of high school, mainly baseball, a little bit golf, obviously tennis. Kids can turn pro out of high school, often do, and no one cares. No one complains, no one cares. Agents have access to baseball players right now. That, like, you know, it's, Scott Boras advises a high school kid that's drafted in the first round. Scott Boras is his advisor. They don't call him agent, they call him advisor. But he's his advisor. If that kid goes to college, doesn't turn pro, then Boras disappears, or is supposed to. And it seems to be working okay in baseball. And I realize basketball is a scummier sport than all of them combined that I just mentioned, but it's not the worst thing that agents can advise these kids, assuming they then disappear into the woodwork. But let's be very clear about this. They weren't disappearing before. This isn't going to start them disappearing. You know, this is not going to cause more problems. If anything, it's going to help just a little bit. It might help one kid make a better decision, but it's not going to elevate the level of scum, because the scum was already there. Now some of the scum rises to the surface, and that's the least safe spot to be.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg is with us every Tuesday on the program. Great to catch up. Hey, college football will be here soon, which means for us basketball crazy people, college basketball and high school basketball even closer. I look forward to our chats throughout the college football and basketball seasons.
Yeah, great time of year, isn't it? It sure is.
Absolutely, Greg. Talk to you again soon.
All right, Matt. Bye.
All right, we will head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram. He can talk a little bit more about that three-way race for the IU quarterback position. He is at IU's fall camp today. He'll join us from there coming up after the commercial break. We'll talk a little IU football. We'll talk some basketball recruiting with Mike as well when we come back on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back here with Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. Mike is at fall camp watching the IU football team continue to prepare for the upcoming season. A lot of storylines around football that we'll get to. But first, Mike, I started the show today. I've had so many questions about Romeo Langford. Saw a picture of him with a cast on. Heard he's got a cast on. What's wrong? Is it serious? Is he going to miss action? Is it, you know, what's the deal? And so I mentioned what I knew today, that it seems like a precautionary measure more so to give him the opportunity in this slower time, at least as far as workouts and practices and basketball in general go, to get a rest and maybe to let that thing heal and be as good as it possibly can be for the upcoming season. What have you heard about it? What is your take on things with that preventative measure being taken for Romeo to rest that wrist?
Yeah, I think it's just because this is the ideal time to rest it, because players usually go home right before the start of the semester. You know, he's had that nagging injury, I think, from that Princeton game, where he heard it, and it's just one of those things where you just have to immobilize it to really make sure you don't aggravate it, or just keep that pain going. So he's mobilizing it, I think, this month, and just at the ideal time before school gets going and workouts and all that. So I don't think it's anything more than that, but it's, we'll see.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, our guest. Again, you'll hear some background noise. Mike is at practice today for IU football. A number of storylines around football. We've kind of started to amp up talking a little bit more about IU football here on the program for the upcoming season. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about the three-way quarterback race. I'll get your thoughts on that in a moment. But also, as far as a race for positions, Indiana's still trying to figure out who its kicker will be for the upcoming season. They have no experience as far as taking snaps in a college football game on the roster at this point.
Yeah, Griffin Oaks had a terrific senior year. They have a couple of walk-ons that actually look pretty good, but they have Campbell, a kid as a scholarship player, who's but he's physically a little bit. He needs a little bit of strength work, and I'm not sure if he's ready or not. But they do have one scholarship kicker, but he is a true freshman, and they have some walk-ons. So that's been one of the areas where we're sitting and waiting to see who wins the job. And punter is in great shape with some. Hayden Whitehead, an Australian kid, but kicker is definitely one of the races we're trying to see who wins these next couple weeks.
Mike Pegram of Pigs.com, our guest. Again, Mike is at football practice again this week. Quarterback race, three-way race, scrimmage last weekend. Not a lot said by Tom Allen or any of the coaches, for that matter, about who's the front runner at this point, but kind of based on what Coach Allen did say, you would think that maybe after they scrimmage again this weekend and all three get plenty of more opportunities to impress the coaches and show how they can fit into things, that maybe after this weekend we'll at least be a little closer to understanding the thought of the coaches and what direction they might go.
Yeah, you got to wait. Like today, I think Brandon Dawkins has looked a lot better, looked less rusty. Peyton Ramsey has improved, and he's built his body up. And so, you know, and then the most talented guy is obviously Michael Penix, the freshman from Tampa. I mean, this kid could be really good in the long run, but he's so young and maybe susceptible to throwing a ball that he shouldn't throw that gets intercepted. So that's a big risk you take with somebody like him. But he can run and throw, and maybe throw the best deep ball, and got good height and just a little bit skinny. So it's really up for grabs. I think any of the three chosen would not be a huge surprise. That's how close the competition is. And they're keeping mom on the scrimmage. We're actually going to talk to all three quarterbacks today after practice, but I don't know if we'll learn anything, because we're still probably days away from maybe figuring out who might end up winning that job.
Mike Pegram of Pigs.com is our guest. Here's some yelling, some shouting going on in the background. Tell us, what does one of these typical fall camp practices look like, at least the ones that coaches can see? I know they probably limit certain things that happen when there's a contingent of media in attendance, but what do they look like, and what are some of the things that you've seen and have stood out to you today?
Well, today I think they're doing a lot of red zone stuff, First against first, second against second, and third against third, but rotating guys in and out of those units and kind of having battles between offense and defense. Who wins offense or defense? It's first and 10 from the 15 or something like that. And who wins? If offense scores, they win. There's a lot of that kind of competition. One thing that's been unique about this camp is they're running plays like kind of simultaneously, where you have one unit, one offense against one defense going one way, and an offense against defense going the other way. That way you can get more snaps off. And a big reason for that is those three quarterbacks are such a ball in the mix, and you want to get them enough snaps for them to improve and for you to really decide which guy is best. So that's been one unique thing, just a lot more line of scrimmage type plays. Then as much as they can squeeze into the 2 hours they have each day.
Mike Pegram of Pigs.com with us. I have one more football question before we get into a couple basketball things and then let you get back to practice. But obviously, newcomers with football, in basketball you've got a limited number. 3, 4, 5 is a really big recruiting class in basketball. But in football, obviously the numbers are much different. The roster size is much different. I'm curious, newcomers this year across the board at any position on either side of the ball, a couple that maybe have stood out to you that could be difference makers and receive ample time in their first year at Indiana.
Yeah, I did a story on it. I think at running back, Scott looks like a pro kind of body. They have a couple wideouts because wideouts is a position you usually get thrown into the breach right away. Miles Marshall and another guy, Jacoby Hewitt. They have some talent there, and I think that defense, you see some guys. I mean, James Head looks like an SEC player from Miami, kind of a big defensive end, linebacker type role, rusher, maybe to help Niall Sykes on the line at times. And they got some really nice defensive backs. Brian Fitzgerald, his first year, but he has been in Indiana for a year at safety. Devin Matthews could also start at safety. Cam Jones has been really good at in that Husky position that Marcelino Ball plays. All three of those guys, I suspect, will play a lot in the back defensive backfield. So that would be the most impactful position the freshmen have on this team. And this, you know, it should be interesting. And of course, we already talked about Michael Penix from Tampa. He could end up being the starting quarterback.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, IU football. Starting the segment, do have a couple basketball things with you before we let you go. And again, Mike is live in Bloomington right now at the IU fall camp today for football. Big game announced yesterday in high school basketball for the upcoming season. Fort Wayne North was going to play Center Grove. Obviously, Keon Brooks no longer at Fort Wayne North. Now it's going to be LaPorte La Lemire with Keon and a number of other players, including some other IU interest on that roster, taking on Center Grove and, of course, Trace Jackson Davis. That's going to be the nightcap game at the Forum Tip-Off Classic at Southport, which has become just a tremendous day of high school basketball. In fact, a couple years, it's been really a IU day as far as number of recruits, number of commitments that have played in that event. But that's a huge game and a big challenge for Center Grove to take on a non-IHSA school like LaPorte La Lemire. But that'll be a big day for high school basketball early in the season to help get things underway.
Yeah, like you said, the finale and the most hyped game of probably of that day when there's several games played at, you know, in Southport. It's just a huge gym. And La Lemire, not only do they have Keon Brooks, but they have a top 10 player in the nation in Isaiah Stewart that Indiana's vying to make his final five. And he's supposed to come out with that any day now. So we'll be following that to see if that makes that game even more exciting. But La Lemire, you know, that's the one prep school in Indiana that's, you know, always been around. It's not something that came up from nowhere. La Lemire is a traditional powerhouse now and one of the top three or four prep schools, arguably, in the country. So that'll be a great experience for Center Grove, which, you know, could be a team that could take it all this year.
Mike Pegram of Peaks.com. Do you expect recruiting to kind of quiet down a little bit over the next few weeks, maybe the next month, before it takes off again as the season draws a little closer? And, of course, Hoosier Hysteria, that's a big recruiting day for IU basketball. Do you think it'll quiet down a bit before that gets here?
Well, there's going to be a couple of visits at the end of August. I think Zeke Mandaje from Minneapolis, and school starts here on Monday, I believe. And so, you know, we're in a slow period this week, but we're in last week, but things start to heat up when football games start happening and kids start visiting. So, you know, I think the slowness will only go on for another week or two.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, always with us on Tuesdays, the latest in IU football and basketball. Mike, we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Matt. Take care.
All right, Mike Pegram, live from practice in Bloomington. You can hear the cheering, the coaches yelling, the whistles in the background. We appreciate him joining us from there today. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with one final segment here on this Tuesday edition of our program. It's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here, final segment of this Tuesday program. It's the Hoosier Report. We do this each day at 11 a.m. Of course, if you miss it, replay at 3 o'clock most days here on the Big X, and then you can find us as a podcast on SoundCloud, also an Apple podcast. For the SoundCloud side, just point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. For Apple Podcasts, search The Hoosier Report. If you would, leave us a positive rating and a review as well. That'll help us reach others that might be interested in a podcast of similar topics. I mentioned this yesterday in my conversation with Zach Ostrman of the Indianapolis Star, and kind of ironically enough, not too far after that or too long after that, there was a story on CBS Sports in the college football section by Dennis Dodd about the number of scandals that have rocketed, affected Big Ten athletic departments in some form or fashion. And I'm reading from the article here, quote, since 2011, the year of the Jerry Sandusky scandal broke at Penn State, to the current Maryland investigation, there have been at least 16 high-profile instances of alleged wrongdoing in Big Ten athletic departments involving 11 of the conference's 14 schools. And, of course, most recently, the Maryland deal, player dives, DJ Durkin placed on leave, that situation still under investigation. Two scandals, you could say, at Ohio State this year, Urban Meyer placed on leave most recently, the Richard Strauss scandal broke, those are both still under investigation from this year. Also in 2018, two football players hospitalized at Nebraska. Then you go back to 2017. That's the Larry Nassar, the sick gymnastics doctor that has been jailed and, of course, raked over the coals for his terrible wrongdoings for years and years and years, not only at Michigan State, but also with USA Gymnastics as well. And you can go back through the list all the way to 2011, and it's amazing the number of scandals that have existed in college football, a lot to do with football, but other sports as well. Of course, Indiana is only listed on this list that is included in Dennis Dodd's story on CBS one time, and that's in 2016 when Kevin Wilson resigned for allegedly abusing players. So really interesting. It's got some quotes from the Big Ten Conference Commissioner Jim Delaney as well, but interesting all of the issues that have been from Big Ten schools and their athletic departments. And again, if you go through and look at them, many, many, many of them are related to college football or the football programs within Big Ten Conference schools. Not all, but primarily, and I'm not even sure if I, as I scan down through there, if there are any that are related to college basketball, but at a quick glance, I'm not sure. I don't believe so. But again, I can tell you one thing, a quick glance will show a lot of them are related to the football programs. But interesting, that has been a storyline recently, starting with the Urban Meyer situation, now with Maryland and DJ Durkin on leave. That has kind of taken the cake, I guess, in a negative light, so to say, as far as the Big Ten Conference goes. But I did think that was interesting, and I'm sure that we'll talk more about this coming up soon. Also, don't forget, coming up around 12:30 today, we expect Kobe Barnes to announce his college destination. He says he'll make his decision sometime around 12:30, and we hope to talk with him on our Wednesday program if he can be available with school and class about whatever choice he does make, and kind of get the inside track on why he chose who he's going to choose later today, whoever that may be. His final five schools: Belmont, Indiana State, Lehigh, Miami of Ohio, and Purdue Fort Wayne. Those are the five schools that he will choose from. A couple of those schools, Belmont and Lehigh, entered the picture more recently in the month of July when he played very well. He's had some big point performances. As I've mentioned, he had 37, 38 points recently in the Battle of the Bridges All-Star Game. He had some other big All-Star Game performances earlier in the summer and spring as well, and a solid AAU season to conclude his AAU career playing with the Indiana Elite program. So five good choices. Will be really interesting to see who he picks, and we expect to know that sometime a little bit later this afternoon. That's going to wrap up this Tuesday show. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock on our Wednesday program. We'll have Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com with us. We'll also be joined by Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, to talk local sports headlines in Southern Indiana. Tomorrow, make sure you join us. And, of course, if you miss us, we've always got the podcast available on both SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. That'll do it for today. Until tomorrow, Matt Dennison saying have a great day.
This is your home for Indiana University Sports, 1450 WXVW and 96.1 The Big X Sports Radio.